Good evening, everybody, and thanks for coming out to our first Serotalk, or our first Tech Talk, Serotech Tech Talk. I like that. Tech Talk, Tech Talk. We are hoping to keep this pretty informal. We will be doing this on Thursday nights. The talks will get kind of geeky, and I would invite those either here tonight or listening on the archive of this talk to go ahead and try and understand. Of course, you can always either ask a question here if it's not perfectly clear. And remember that there's no such thing as a stupid question. Here at Serotech, we really pride ourselves on being patient and really helping those who are not familiar with technology on how to become familiar with it and really how to live that digital lifestyle. So there's no such thing as a stupid question. There's no such thing as a dumb question. I see everybody here, and I know that we've got from experience to neophytes in here. So I will try and keep it as ungeeky as possible. However, do understand that some of the geekier among us are here, and I'm sure that they have some geeky questions to ask. Tonight, we are going to focus on netbooks. And the netbook is a very interesting type of device. The netbook was actually brought around. It started a couple years back with something that was that like the mobile PC, I think it was called, or something like that. And they had a project called Origami that Microsoft was working on. Everybody was like, what is Origami, man? And what Origami was this mobile PC that wasn't quite a PDA, but it wasn't quite a notebook. And it was supposed to be a few hundred dollars. And it was supposed to be, you know, long on battery life. And I know what it is now. It was called the UMPC, the Ultra Mobile PC. And the UMPC, the original ones were not very good because they only had like 3 hours of battery life or 2.5 hours of battery life. So who wanted that, you know? And then you had companies like OQO that came out with computers that were very cool. For example, you had people like the WindowEyes folks were selling the OQO for a while with WindowEyes. And that machine, though, was about $1,900 just for the PC. And it was kind of cool, but it was a low power processor. It really wasn't a strong processor. So it really didn't lend itself to big applications. And the price you paid was pretty darn big. I mean, $1,900 just for the OQO original. And now they're even today, they're down to $1,300, $1,400, $1,200 once you deck it out. And it's still a 1-point-something gigahertz single core processor. So you're not talking a really fast processor for a whole lot of money for a small form factor. So then came along the netbook, and I purchased my first netbook in about May of last year. It was the HP 2133, and it ran on the VIA chipset. Those of you that have had a set-top box in the past or are familiar with different processor companies would know VIA as the company that made a lot of these integrated motherboards with the processor embedded. And they tried to jump on this netbook thing. Actually, what happened was HP tried to kind of preempt. They knew that Intel was going to come along with their mobile platform later during the year, and indeed they did last year. But, you know, HP tried to get the jump and put out this machine that was the HP 2133, which quite candidly, out of all the netbooks in the world, every single one of them, no one will disagree that the HP 2133 is A, the most gorgeous, B, the most rugged, and C, probably had some of the best battery life ever. The problem is that the the processor was a piece of garbage. The VIA processor, first mistake they made was they put this HP with Windows Vista Business. And Windows Vista was just, I mean, heck, you have enough trouble running Windows on a Windows Vista on a dual core system, let alone this 1.6, which I've never seen 1.6 out of the VIA chipset, but okay, if that's what they call it. 1.6 gigahertz processor. And even though I got mine with 2 gigs of RAM, it was a dog. By the time I got it, it didn't take me less or more than 2 days to wipe off Vista and put on good old XP, at which point the machine to this day is not a screamer, but it is running, you know, relatively quick. And I'm right in the middle of loading Windows 7 beta onto it to see how it works. I hear from the folks at Microsoft that the HP 2133 rocks now with Windows 7. Now, in the interim, HP did come back and just announced at CES that the HP 2140 would be released. And the HP 2140 is aimed primarily at education and at business, and it is using the Atom chipset, which is the Intel form factor or the Intel platform. It is the Atom 270 1.6 gigahertz chipset with the Intel 945 video chipset. Now, the other thing I forgot to mention about the HP is it also is the most expensive. So you're not going to necessarily want to run out. Even today, even though I purchased my first one for $775, it was, and they've come down now. They're going to retail, I think, for about $600 from the HP website. And then depending on what bells and whistles, you could easily pay $700-$750 for it. So it really depends on what you're going to get. We'll talk about many other PCs and, you know, many other netbooks. So the next thing I looked at after the disappointment of the HP 2133, I looked at an Asus, and that was the EEE PC. And the EEE PC, or the EPC, was the arguably the smallest netbook on the market. Okay. There is one smaller unit, and I'll talk about that in a second, but that's called an MID, which is a mobile internet device. And we'll talk about that in a second. But for the netbooks, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that the original Asus EEE PC or EPC was the smallest. Now, the downside to that is you had to have little itty bitty fingers to use this thing. And if you didn't have little itty bitty fingers, you know, big sausage fingers would, you know, double and triple hit keys. So this was not a great thing. However, it was very cool because you could load System Access or you could load JAWS or you could load Window Eyes onto it. And it was very neat. The machine sold for about $450, $425. Now, that was one heck of a jump, considering that it was, you know, my machine originally was $775 from HP. I said, well, I'll take one of those. Then the market really started going nuts. Now, let's fast forward to about September, October. Now we're looking at the MSI wind has hit the market. MSI has been making PCs, and very cool PCs, I may add, for gamers and for multimedia applications, and just really sweet stuff for years, as well as Asus. Asus makes very thin, very sexy machines, and MSI does the same. But MSI came out with a product called the MSI Wind, which in fact we sell. And the features on the MSI Wind, well, the MSI Wind has the current version we're selling has 160 gig hard drive. You can go up as high as a gig of RAM or 2 gigs of RAM on it. It's got a 3 or 6 cell battery, and it runs 802.11 ABG, and I believe that they're starting to ship N. The cool thing about the netbooks too that I didn't mention before is these things were totally decked out for mobile communication. You could throw Skype on this thing, and not only would you have a microphone built right into the unit, but you would have a video camera right built into the unit. I remember when I got my first one, I was at a hotel that my wife wanted to see. Oh, what's the hotel look like? So all I did was I walked around my hotel room with this video camera on the computer, just showing it around to my wife. Look, honey, look at this, look at that. And it was very cool. It was kind of fun. And she actually got a feel for what the hotel room looked like. And it was kind of neat. And it was just pretty cool just to walk around with this little notebook. Most of the netbooks weigh between 1.9 pounds and 3 pounds. 2.9, 2 point something. They all fall under the 3 pound mark at various levels. So basically the Wind was the next one. Then it really got crazy because Dell came out with a PC as well. And what Dell did was, the e-boxes or the EPCs actually, they introduced, solid state drives, which were nothing more than an internal, you know, SD card, basically, that was, you know, either 4, 8, or 16 gigs. So Dell got on board with their Dell Mini PC, which I have here as well. And the Dell Mini, you could get it in a 4, 8, or 16 gig, drive, and they all have an additional drive bay. So you could plug in yet another, maybe even a 32 or a 64 gig, you know, little MMC card or whatever, the SD cards, the SDHDs, the high density, SD cards. That price, I believe now you're getting to machines that were under $400. The EPCs actually went up for a while to 5 and change or so. And MSI has, it depends on where you get them. We sell the MSI Wind for $599, fully decked out with the 6-cell battery and that kind of thing. And you can add another gig of RAM for a couple of bucks. But basically, you know, we also configure the machine. We build it out. We test it. We burn it. We don't just have it in a warehouse and just throw it at you. You know, you can get the MSI Winds online if you go looking around, and if you're brave, you can go looking around and get them for, you know, $400 or $500. A lot of these netbooks are really, really awesome. The biggest thing that I would say blind people are going to have problems with is going to be sound, or is going to be keyboard. The best keyboard on the market, hands down, is the HP keyboard. The HP folks also put out, in the interim before the 2140, they put out a very good priced or well priced unit, which is the HP Mini 1000. Problem with the HP Mini 1000, it's got a beautiful keyboard and it's got okay sound. The best sound out of all of these was the HP 2133, and unfortunately the great sound did not carry over to the 2140. I hear that the 2140 has the same tinny sound as the HP Mini Note 1000, because what they did was, to get a little more screen real estate, they took the speakers away from the sides of the screen, which is where they were on the 2133, and they put them along the hinge. So as you can imagine, the speakers were significantly smaller. The HP the 2140 has an express card slot. So if you want to do, you know, the kind of, thing of, you know, using your mobile broadband type cards, you can get a mobile broadband card into the 2140, into the 2133, and into a Lenovo one, which I'll talk about in a minute. So you can get the express cards into any of those. A couple of other ones, I believe the Wind and the HP Mini 1000 are able to have internal3G cards, you know, for AT&T Mobile or for other 3G providers worldwide, or HSDPA. You can get these, they're internal and they need to be gotten by the carrier that way. But you can embed them. The whole idea here is that this is not necessarily a PC that you're going to want to, you know, spend all day with as your primary PC. This is a PC you throw in a bag, you throw in your backpack, you carry it with you, and you know that you're going to use it to check email, you're going to use it to write some letters, you're going to use it to listen to some entertainment. I mean, you know, you can watch a movie on these things, you can connect to a hotspot. These are great PCs for that. The other thing is that, well, the Dell Mini, the problem I have with the Dell Mini is what Dell did is to get more keyboard real estate is they got away, they took away F1 through F12 and they put F1 through F10 on the home row of keys using the function key. So if you want to do F1, for example, you would do FN or function A and that would be F1. Kind of trippy and very hard to get used to. The Wind, I love the Wind. The Wind is my favorite machine, actually, until I just saw this Lenovo machine. Lenovo just put out one called the S10. And we're actually, by the time this hits the road and even by tomorrow or the next day, we'll be putting up a Lenovo S10. Which is a small machine, very small, with a 10-inch screen. It's a what they call a 90% keyboard, 90% full-size keyboard. Now, just so we have something to compare with, the HP keyboard, which I keep ranting and raving about, is a 92% keyboard. Okay, and the MSI Wind is probably about an 88 or 87% keyboard. But the MSI Wind's keyboard is just nice. And all of these machines feel very solid in your hand. They're not cheapy. You know, they don't give you a lot of keyboard bend. They're not plastic crap. You know, they actually are pretty solid machines. The MSI Wind's brings does not bring a solid state drive. It brings a regular hard drive. Now, the thing I like about this Lenovo S10, for example, is, you can take a panel off the back and you can upgrade the memory to 1.5 gigs of RAM yourself. You can also take the hard drive out if you're so inclined. And later, once, you know, bigger hard drives come out, you can just put a new 2.5 inch hard drive in there. And I hear that Samsung and Intel and SanDisk, all these folks are coming out with 2.5 inch SSDs. That are going to fit in these machines and notebooks that currently have regular hard drives. So you can actually work on this machine, and we're going to be selling them for $999 with a copy of System Access incorporated into them, with a 3 and a 6 cell battery and 1.5 gigs of RAM. For $799, you get a 512 version with a 3-cell battery, and the bundle also includes a year of System Access mobile network service. So it's not a bad deal. The whole idea, people, behind these machines is to make them inexpensive and to make them something that everybody can have. You know, I was looking over the blurb that we wrote up about a version of System Access that we're about to release, and it's I'm really tired of seeing the screen reader cost more than the PC you're running it on. That just doesn't make sense. And because of that, what we've done is we are introducing System Access for the Atom platform. Now, this Atom platform is the Atom 270, which is a 1.6 gigahertz processor. Intel is going to introduce an Atom dual core later this year that will not be going into notebooks, to my knowledge. The dual core Atom will be going into machines that are called nettops, or they're small desktop computers about the size of a paperback. I have one of these nettops right now that is running the 1.6 version, or the 270 Atom, and that is the EEE box by Asus. And it's a nice little machine. I got it sitting in my kitchen. You know, I've got a touch screen hooked up to it. It's cute. My wife needs to look up a recipe or whatever. It's right there. She needs to write down a phone number. It's right there. You know, she wants to go update her Facebook or look at a video on YouTube. She can do that. It doesn't have any optical drives as far as, you know, DVD or anything. It's just simply a machine with a hard drive in it and a wireless connection. It's an N connection. So it connects to our home network, and that's it. And I think the machine ran us a whopping $270 for the machine. You add $150, which is what we're going to be selling this Atom version of System Access for $400, you've got a full computer. I mean, when in the world has that ever been possible? You know, and the Atom version will run on any Atom. It's transferable. You can move it around to as many machines as you can, as you want. The only thing, of course, is you cannot move that Atom to a regular, you know, Core 2 Duo or quad core machine or whatever. We will have an upgrade path for you to be able to do that for a couple dollars more. So you'll be able to actually, you know, if you decide, well, you know, the Atom was nice for a while, but I really want to go ahead and get a regular machine. Or, you know, the Atom was cool. I had it for a year. It was my laptop for a year. But now I'm going to move over to whatever, a new machine. And it's not going to be an Atom. So that is where we want to position that version. The other reason that we want this version to hit the market is because, as I said, I alluded to a product called an MID. The MID is a mobile internet device. This thing looks just like the old OQO. It's a slide-out QWERTY keyboard. The machine is about 5.8 inches wide, and it's got a full keyboard in it, a QWERTY keyboard, and it's running Windows XP, and I have a sneaking suspicion that it will run Windows 7. It's got built-in 802.11bg. It has a camera, it has a microphone, it has a touch screen with the pen and everything. I even believe that I know that it's got an SD slot, and it's got an 8 gig SSD in it, but it also has the ability to run USB products, and I believe it's got a slot in there for for a 3G card. And it, one last thing it has is GPS. I don't particularly care too much for the MID. It's one of those things that looks really James Bondish and really cool. But in practical use, it's a lot of money. You pay about $700 for it. And it just doesn't, it's not something that you're going to spend a lot of time on. I'd rather pay, you know, $500, $600, $400, $500, whatever, for a netbook, you know, in its rawest form, and use that. So that is, I mean, I've got, oh my gosh, I've got so many of these netbooks around here that I've been working with. And as you see, I got my daughter the Aspire 1 for Christmas, and she loves her Aspire. I got it for her in pink. You know, and these things are fashion statements. I mean, we can the MSI Win that I have here has Serotech, Accessibility Anywhere, and this really nice logo from our website and stuff on the front. It's very blinged out. You know, it's a beautiful graphic on the front. So I'm sitting in the airport and people are looking at the notebook going, wow, where'd you get that? You know, that's so cool. So it is a fashion statement. You know, the Lenovo right now, it's like a, you know, like a person with a new girlfriend. The Lenovo is the one I've played with lately. It really is one of my favorites right now because it's got this Express card, and even though I had a USB modem for my Sprint connection, the Express card is so much better. It's just, it's something that I can use anywhere, and I don't need to be plugging things in and wondering if I forgot it or if I lost it somewhere or what have you. It just sits in the notebook, and when I want it, it's there. So that is pretty much my overview of the netbooks. I hope I've addressed some of the questions that you guys asked. If I didn't, I would like you to state your name and your question, and then Michael can go ahead and moderate those, and I will answer as we find appropriate.
It's Mike Garrigo, and I'm in St. Louis. What do you get with these as far as if you need to restore your system to a default? And you said you took Vista off of that one and put XP on. How easy is it to get the drivers for those things?
Well, it's relatively easy because, you know, you can go in and get the drivers from any website. Now, I will tell you, of course, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. These machines come ready to go, but they still require you to install your AT and things like that. We, with the netbooks we sell, of course, you can already get them configured. And they basically come to you and you plug them in and they work. A lot of these machines come with Ubuntu Linux installed, which of course has Orca on it. So it is a neat operating system. Do make sure it's Ubuntu. If it's not Ubuntu, you're going to get something else that may not have the proper GNOME desktop that you can use Orca with, and at that point you're going to be kind of out of gas and going to wipe it anyway and put Ubuntu in it. But, you know, wiping it out is not a big deal. Now, I will tell you with the HP, I mean, I've got my son working with me on it because I can't do it by myself. So I've thrown Windows 7 on a USB stick, a bootable USB stick, and away we go. You know, we're going to install it on there, probably after I get out of here. There's a website called Hackintosh that you can actually see where they've actually run, Leopard on one of these MSI Wins, and now, they've even made the big problem before was you'd have to mod the machine to change the Wi-Fi card out because there wasn't a Leopard driver. But now the people that make the Wi-Fi have actually released a Leopard driver. So encouraging people, if you will, to go ahead and hack away. If you've got a copy of Leopard, there's all over the internet, there's a way to do that. I mean, it's you know, the thing about these, they all scream about, oh, you know, you're going to void your warranty and this and that. If you want to tinker, who cares? I mean, have fun. You know, this is like, you know, like buying a car that you can like bling out, open it up and do whatever you want to do to it.
Mike, one of our questions was about the 9-cell batteries. Do we know what manufacturers will be supporting that?
You know, a 9-cell battery sounds so awesome. In practice, it's not. the 6 cells are chunky enough, folks. And the 9 cells are not being... The 9-cell battery that we've read about for the Wind is not endorsed by MSI, and it is not produced by MSI, which means that some group in Hong Kong somewhere decided we're going to take advantage of this market, and we're going to make an aftermarket 9-cell battery that will cost you, first of all, half the price of the darn machine. Second of all, we'll hang off that thing. It's just butt ugly, you know? I mean, the whole idea here, with a 6-cell on a Wind, you get freaking 7 hours of time, man. I have yet to use 7 hours of time sitting there. You know, one of the things I forgot to mention about these things is when you use them, when you're done using it, you don't need to shut it down. All you do is close the lid, and then when you open the lid again, everything is there. There's no reason to run out and buy a $2,300 or $2,400 blind ghetto product anymore that is a note taker. You can do it on this thing, and listen, you can buy the computer, and if you need 12 hours of battery life, buy an extra battery and carry it in your backpack. It's still going to go much farther and still for a lot less money than one of these blind ghetto note taking devices. And it's also a very, very cool device. It's a, like I said, it's a lifestyle device. It's not the big brick that these note-taking devices are.
Yeah, this is Kevin Brown in Texas. That sounds pretty cool, but would it be able to run, like, as I'm a musician, would it be able to run a sampler? Kind of piqued my curiosity as opposed to getting a Plex Talk. If I get a notebook, would I be able to load the movies and stuff on it and all that?
Depending on what you're doing, I wouldn't suggest you run like a full-blown multi-track studio thing on this, on these things. But sure, you can run SoundForge on it. You can run, you know, probably a sequencer on it. You could run that kind of stuff. It's not going to be a heavy number cruncher. Again, this is not a primary PC by any stretch of the imagination. For somebody who is doing a specialized in application is that. I happen to do audio production, and I would not use one of the netbooks if I were out recording a group. I mean, I'd use a desktop, or I'd use a Mac or whatever. But I would not, it really depends on the quality of the recording you want. This is primarily for keeping in touch online. You can, of course, download movies to it, play audio from it, download content to it, that kind of thing. We don't allow you to download the movies from our network to your computer. But you can certainly, play stuff on there, from anywhere. It runs Winamp really well and all that kind of stuff.
Hey, this is Chris Westbrook here. I was just wondering if there would be any discount for existing system access users with that, or is that considered like a standalone sort of product?
Oh, no. I mean, the price on the Atom version of system access is low enough as it is. I mean, it's $149, $149.95. It's the same price for everybody, whether you're adding it to your system or not. If you're already an existing system access mobile or standalone owner, you can just add a regular license to your repertoire for $199, and that can run on Atom or not. So, a person first coming in the door that just bought their netbook and wants to dip their toe in the system access river, if you will, can pay $149.95 and just get up and running. This is truly our way of kind of trying to get people to put, a budget AT solution into these budget machines.
Mike, one of the questions that came up has to do with the mouse pad and how it can easily get in the way. Have you found any kind of workarounds?
Duct tape. No, I'm kidding. I really, the HP machines have this really nifty button above them, above the mouse pad, and you just turn it off above the trick pad. Otherwise, you have to go in and you can either turn them off altogether or you can lower the sensitivity on them. Depending on the machine, it may or may not take sighted assistance, but it's something that you can do once, and that's all you need to do. And what you can do is, if you have a problem where you need somebody to work on your machine, and you don't want to have to tell them, well, go in and activate the mouse pad and all that, just have a USB mouse lying around and just plug it in when you need a sighted person to work on your machine for you.
Someone also asked about the kind of notifications that you get. A jack has been plugged in, or you've plugged in a microphone or unplugged a microphone. Can that be disabled without eliminating the functionality? Are there any workarounds, or is it just a little annoyance you live with these devices?
I think it's something you live with them. It depends. For example, the wind does that, and it ticks me off. It does kind of create a bit of a weird scenario, which takes us back to the question the gentleman asked earlier about recording. It's not necessarily for, that kind of stuff. It really is for on-the-go computing, and you really need to research what you're looking for and ask the questions. And maybe even if some person wants to start, I will be available to answer questions if a moderator of a forum on our forums wants to start a netbook forum. I'll be happy to answer questions for them, where they can probably find a lot of nuggets here and answer. I've pretty much poured my knowledge of these things into this talk tonight.
Mike, this is Robert Carter, and I'm currently on an Acer Aspire 1, and I'm using System Access on it. Would there be any reason or advantage for me to switch to the Atom version of System Access when it comes out for this machine, or basically is it going to run the same as what I'm using now?
Are you using the mic on that thing?
No, I'm using a headset mic, $20 one from Radio Shack.
Okay. I was going to say, man, that's the best sounding netbook mic I've ever heard. When you talk about headsets, because even with the units that have the one jack, if you use a USB, plug-in sound card, the mic that I'm on now, you hear how it sounds, and it's a plug-in USB mic. It's a broadcast quality USB mic, but I can plug it into a netbook and have absolutely no trouble doing one of our podcasts or doing an interview. It definitely, again, if you want to get creative, you know, you can certainly get creative with your netbook. Now, I will say, Robert, no, you will not experience any difference in performance. Now, the one thing is, let's say tomorrow you get yourself another desktop. So you want to buy a license for it. What I would do is I would move the license that you currently have on your Acer over to the desktop and then buy the Acer, an Atom version. That way you put $50 in your pocket, you know. But again, that just all depends on you. You know, the cost of entry is what we're trying to help people with.
One person asked if all of these machines were able to be set up by yourself without sighted assistance, or did some of them require some help before you could get sound and proceed?
You could, if you're a fairly adventurous blink and turn on narrator and kind of, you know, fiddle your way through that out of box experience until you get to the desktop. And then, you know, once you get there, you know, go to sa2go.com and run sa2go and take it from there. But by and large, I would submit that it isn't easy, and that's why we configure them for people when they buy them from us. You know, not only do we do that, but we can install antivirus for you and all that stuff. And we charge for that service. We don't do it for free. The Lenovos that we're selling as part of the special, we're going to be setting up speech on them for people on the $999 package, not on the $799 package. If you're adventurous, sure, you can do it, but it is a little challenging sometimes.
Do many of the machines allow you, something us blind folks would like, to turn off the display to conserve battery life?
I know that you can, for example, on many of these machines, you can lower the brightness. The Lenovo actually has a very easy way of doing it where you can hold the function key down and then tap the down arrow key, and the screen gets really, 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 really fuzzy. And I know the Lenovo will give you about 7.5 hours out of a 6-cell battery. So you can get a pretty rocking, you know, amount of battery life out of this thing. I heard, by the way, that the Mini 1000 from HP, which is my very close second to this Lenovo, and that is because it does not have the express card slot for the modem, and right now it only has a 3-cell, and when you add, and they're going to come out with a 6-cell kind of a brick. And I just know how HP does, you know, larger batteries, and they do a really crappy job. It's not, it's just big, this big honking battery on there. You know, that's what the HP 2133 and the 2140 is like. It's a big honking battery on the back. And everybody else makes their battery kind of sexy and fit into the unit a lot nicer. HP also makes their machines very rugged. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, you really need to kind of read the reviews and also see us at the shows. We're going to be traveling to all the ACB and NFB, and we're going to be at ATIA, and we're going to be at CSUN this year, showing off all the different netbooks so you can come and pet them all. You can run Windows 7 on these units, and it is going to be pretty zippy. As a matter of fact, Windows 7 is optimized for running on these smaller machines. That's going to be one of the big differences between Vista and Windows 7. So I'm a big fan of these machines. I really believe that if you've got to carry a machine, you know, before the netbook came out, I really didn't carry a machine anymore. There were years where I didn't carry a machine because I just used SA2Go or I used my U3 key. You want to have something you can keep next to the bed or you can take down to the kitchen or what have you. This is the kind of PC you want. You know, it's a very neat system.
One person asked about OCR software.
I think that they're going to work just fine. They increase the functionality of that stuff, but they don't really increase the overhead of it. It's not like, you know, those products have just, you know, changed so much that, you know, now you have to have this huge machine.
Tony Broom, I have a question concerning the HP and other related crapware. You know, you get all this software when you get a machine like this. Are the netbooks more friendly in the sense that you don't have all that stuff on there?
Now, I will be politically incorrect and call that stuff what everyone else calls it. No, they don't load it with crapware. The crapware is not present on these machines. Now, there is some. You get your, you know, you get your Windows, you know, your Windows on your Office 2007 60-day trial. You get some antivirus crap on there, but not all this other junk, you know, picture creation software and this and that. And when you turn it on, 50 different windows pop up at you. No, you don't get that. They just don't have the guts and, you know, and they're not going to, they don't want to make the thing, you know, a cow out of the door. And they understand that, you know, most machines that have that stuff are cows until you scrape all that stuff out of there. So no, they're relatively clean. And the ones that we send you, we get rid of all that stuff for you, unless you want it, of course.
Do these netbooks have a BIOS setup on them at all?
They do. They have a BIOS, and then the other thing is like the both the Lenovo, actually all of them, the Lenovo, the HP, the MSI Wind, and I believe the Asus units. They all have WinFlash, so you can actually flash the BIOS right from Windows if you need to upgrade it. If you do need to configure it, though, you do need a CIDI around to help. Well, thank you very much, folks, for attending the first Tech Talk. And we will be back here again next Thursday, 8 p.m. and Eastern Time. Don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but some interesting new techie thing. Please do send your emails to content@cerotech.com. That's content@cerotech.com with your suggestions. And also send your comments if you think we're crazy, if you don't like this format, if you think we're too techie, whatever it is, please do give us email feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. We'd like to hear from you. Thank you for taking your time to be with me tonight. I hope that everything is going well for you in this new 2009. We've got some very exciting things ahead of us, and we hope that you invite others to become a part of the System Access Mobile Network and family. Take care, folks.